may be seated.
Well, good morning, everybody. And happy Father's Day to all the daddies and the grandpas and the papas. We're just delighted to see you all here today, and we appreciate all of you, and especially our good Heavenly Father. I wanted to just say a little bit about last weekend. My husband and our daughter and family and son-in-law, we all went up to the UP to Munising. For the first time, we saw Lake Superior, and we had smoked white fish, which we've never done, and we saw waterfalls, and we saw beautiful ferns and wildflowers and crystal clear waters of Lake Superior. And I was just reminded over and over again how beautiful this creation is that our Heavenly Father has given to us, and how thankful that we should be for all of these beautiful gifts, the gifts of family and our dads and grandpas and everyone. And so with that said, we'll begin our worship. Please draw your hearts and your minds into the place where we're at right now with our call to worship.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you, can you guys hear me? Oh, okay, good. Praise him, all you heavenly, praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that would never pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all ocean's depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all his hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all nations, your princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn, who is Jesus, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Let us praise the Lord. Would you please stand as we sing our next song?
Hover over, Holy Spirit, bathe my trembling heart and brow. Fill me with your awesome presence. Come, oh, come and fill me now. Fill me now, fill me now, Spirit. Come and fill me now, fill me now, fill me now. Spirit, come and fill me now.
In myself I'm full of weakness. Can you come and fill me now,
Alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still.
Seated.
It's time to dismiss the kids, I believe, for their ministry time. So please, kids, go to your time of ministry and be blessed. Well, church family, there's a number of things mentioned in the bulletin that need to be brought out here. Of course, it is Father's Day, so again, happy Father's Day. And then I see that Marilyn Zutzma, I see a big 90 there. So happy birthday, Marilyn. 90 and counting, as they say, right? So, yes. And I understand that after service today that there's some tables set up outside there and probably going to have some cake and some goodies to celebrate this great milestone in her life. We have a couple of sadder notes here. We offer our sympathies to Jean Neer as her brother passed away just Monday morning, just recently. And also Dave Coates' brother just passed away. So our sympathy to Dave and the Coates family. And also Phyllis Lerke was taken to St. Mary's on Monday. And the doctors are at work, and we pray that the doctors will help her, and she hopefully will be back to Christian Edison. Am I on? Maybe I'm not. We have a technical difficulty, or?
Hello.
Well, can everybody hear me? Maybe I can grab one of these mics. Good idea. Get one of these going. Okay. I don't see it. Nothing. Oh, okay. This one here? We'll get this figured out in a minute here, I'm sure. How about that? Hey!
Praise the Lord for all this technology we have today.
Let's come in prayer, shall we? Lord, it is your day, the Lord's day, that we come together to worship you, to praise you, and to give you thanks.
To come before you humbly with our prayers and petitions,
the needs that we've been carrying around in our hearts, the burdens that we bear. And we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for being such a great heavenly Father to us. And we ask you, Lord, to bless our earthly fathers, those that gave us godly examples of your love and your grace, of your direction, just to think of the presence and the impact that they had on our lives. We just thank you for them. Pray that your blessing be upon them. But Father, we also want to think of fathers that have not stepped up to take their responsibility in their families. We ask you, Father, that you would convict them of their responsibility, that there are so many families that are hurting and negatively impacted by the absence of fathers. And so we pray that you would speak with each one of them, bring them to their families, and encourage them, Father, give them the hope that they can do what you have called them to do and to be what you've called them to be. We also think, Lord, of Marilyn Zutzman, 90 years, how faithful you have been to Marilyn. And we know, Father, that you have brought her a mighty long way and that you are going to be with her the rest of the way. And we're just thankful that we can celebrate her 90th birthday today. And Lord, we also think of how precious life is and that it does come to an end here on earth, Father, but your promises of a resurrection and a new eternal life. And may that thought alone comfort those that have lost loved ones. We pray for Jean Neer and her family as her brother passed away. Pray that you would be near Jean and that you give her comfort. Comfort to Phyllis Laring. As she's in the hospital, we pray for healing. And we pray for strength. We pray that she would be able to go back to her community to be with her friends and her loved ones. It's much more, Lord, than just appears on this list here that's in our hearts. And we lay all of that before you too, Lord. All of the questions and all of the concerns and the worries and the fears and the doubts, the pressures that come each and every day in our lives. All of these things, Father, we cannot bear these burdens by ourselves. And so we lay them down before you and pray that your grace and your power be upon us, that we can rise up and take our station, take our place, and to walk by your faith that you have given to us, and to know that you are with us, that you indeed will never leave, you won't come and go, that you're always there, and that you'll never forsake, you will never abandon us, that you're always there for us, watching over us, watching over our loved ones. So much to be thankful for, God, so much to pray for, so much that we want to just trust you in. And we pray that we can do that, Lord, as we go forward each and every day. And we all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Should I take this up with me for the sermon? I'm okay with that. Yeah, that would be helpful. Thank you. Will that slide in? Yeah, I don't know. Okay, we're working through those technical difficulties. And as we do that, let's turn to the book of Ephesians, shall we, in the New Testament. The book of Ephesians, past Corinthians, just past Galatians. We get to Ephesians, and please turn to chapter 3 in the letter that Paul has written to the church at Ephesus. I'm going to read verses 1 through 13, and 1 through 13 will be the basis of my sermon today, and then following that, beginning at verse 14, I'm going to pray. So we're going to look at the entire chapter of Ephesians number 3 today, and I think we have something here. Hey. All right. I guess I can go as long as the batteries hold out, right? All right. Careful now. All right, let's read, shall we, together, Ephesians chapter 3. I think I need to get this down a little bit. Paul begins chapter 3 with these words. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. And we're going to stop there at verse 13. We're going to look at those 13 verses. The title of my sermon, of course, is The Greatest Temptation. What is the greatest temptation that Christians face? When we look at Paul's letter in verses 1 through 6, the apostle writes that he knows that he has been called. He acknowledges his calling and he understands God's purpose for his life. The purpose for his life was to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that this gospel is not just for the Jews only, but for whosoever believes on the name of Jesus Christ. And as a result of his stand for the equality of Jews and Gentiles, he had been thrown into prison. And it is from within his prison walls that he writes this letter. Now let's go down and focus on verse 7. Verse 7. Let me read verse 7. There, in verse 7, Paul says that he became a servant of this gospel by God's grace given to him. But if you're looking at your Bible, you'll know that that's not all that's contained in verse 7. And I'm purposefully stopping short of the end of verse 7 to point out that Paul here understood and acknowledged his calling and purpose. So let's pause for a moment and think more deeply about calling and purpose. Everything and everyone that has a beginning has a calling and a purpose. For instance, the world was called by God into existence for a purpose. Likewise, you and I had a beginning. Marilyn had a beginning 90 years ago. All of us had a beginning, didn't we? And therefore, we also have a calling and a purpose that is given to us by God. We are not a cosmic accident. We didn't bubble up from some goo and put our britches on and start walking around. God created us and called us on purpose and for a purpose. And he reveals to us as we live our life, he reveals to us what that purpose is. He doesn't leave us just living in the fog, wondering why we are here. God has given us a purpose, and he has revealed it to us. One of the most beloved and often quoted verses in the Bible is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. That sound familiar to you? Romans 8, 28? Let me read it to you. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So we've all been called. We've all been given a purpose. So now let's go back to Paul's letter here in chapter 3. And let's look a little bit further at verses 10, 11, and 12. In those verses, we discover what God's purpose is for his church. God is building his church out of all nations, tongues, tribes, and peoples, in order to place his manifold wisdom on full display before the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. I'm almost reading word for word right out of Paul's letter. Now, having revealed God's purpose for his church, then Paul says in verse 13, as God continues to build his church throughout everything that Christ Jesus has done, he is our foundation. In Christ alone, we just sing that. Don't be discouraged, he says. Don't be discouraged when you hear about Paul being thrown into prison. Don't be discouraged when you hear about all of the things that happen to one another in our lives. Expanding out on that thought. So we've all been called, but what is that calling? Here it is. Our highest calling, our privileged calling, is to glorify God, to glorify him. Now, in the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church, that's 1 Corinthians, in chapter 10, verse 31, we find him exhorting us this way. He says to us, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, wherever you go, whatever you say, to whomever you're sent, do it all for the glory of God. Now, in the Westminster Catechism that was written by our Presbyterian brothers, we have question number one. Question number one is, what is the chief end of man? The answer, to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. It indeed is a privileged and high calling to live our lives in such a way that in everything we do in order to bring glory to God. To bring glory and honor to God was the Apostle Paul's greatest desire. His purpose was to go to various towns and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's all. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Sounds simple, straightforward. Just go here. Tell them about Jesus, go there, tell them about Jesus, and then go down the road, tell them about Jesus. Seems like so far, I could do that, right? You could do that. But let's reflect for a minute what happened when Paul shared the good news of Jesus Christ. He writes in the second letter that he wrote to the Corinthians what happened as he went to these various towns. Paul writes, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles. Gotta take a breath. In danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. And besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Wow. So all he had to do was just go to these various towns, tell them about the good news of Jesus. Look what happened. So having heard all the stuff that the Apostle Paul went through, what do you suppose the Apostle Paul's greatest temptation was? Well, we might say, if all of that happened to me, I just might throw in the towel. I might be tempted to just give up. Well, my argument is that the Apostle Paul faced an even greater temptation than that. And it is the very same temptation that each and every one of us faces every single day. So let me ask that question. What is the Christian's greatest temptation? Well, remember that the Apostle Paul knew. He knew what his calling and purpose was. However, as he went out to fulfill that purpose, he had no clue what was going to happen. All those things that he listed, that's quite a list. The real question, though, that we must ask is that in spite of all that stuff, how did the Apostle Paul fulfill his purpose? Was it by superhuman strength? Maybe he had an extraordinary amount of intelligence. Maybe he had really good health insurance. What was it? What was it? How was he able to do what God was calling him to do, to fulfill his purpose for why he was created, in spite of all those things that have happened? We must remember that Paul was an ordinary person, just like you and I. And when we set out to fulfill God's purpose for our lives, our greatest temptation is this: to attempt to do it using only our resources. I've heard myself say this whenever I get ready to do something. Oh, I can do this. Yeah, I got this. So self-assured, thinking I've got it all planned out. I've got it all worked out. And now I can just take a step forward and trip and fall. And then you get up. And then what? The first time, isn't it true that when we found ourselves in the middle of a difficult situation, that we discovered the truth about ourselves? And that truth is this, is that we were not as strong as we thought we were. Now, if the Apostle Paul, think about this, if the Apostle Paul had to rely solely on his own resources, it would have been impossible for him to glorify God in all that he did. And the same goes for us. If we attempt to do what God has called us to do, relying only on our own resources, we cannot, and we will not glorify God. So then, what must we do to glorify God? Well, we must do the same thing that the Apostle Paul did. The Apostle Paul, again, understood that it was impossible for him to fulfill God's purpose unless, and here's where we must return to verse 7. So let's go back to verse 7 and read the entire verse this time. Paul says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Did you catch that? Through the working of God's power. What we must do is the very same thing the Apostle Paul did. We must admit to God, and then we must submit to God. We must first admit to God, I do not have what it takes to fulfill your purpose for my life, God. I don't have it all within me. I don't have enough resources. I don't have enough strength. I don't have enough wisdom. I don't have enough whatever it's going to take to do whatever you want me to do. That takes a humble submission. Then, after we admit that to God, we then humbly submit ourselves to God. And when we submit ourselves to God, we come and say, Heavenly Father, I want to glorify you in my life. But in order to do that, I need your power. I need your power, for I am weak. I don't have all of the resources that I need on board. I need you. I need your help. I need your strength. I need your power to work within me and to work through me to fulfill your purpose. And therefore, by doing that, we can glorify God. So here's the final point. Don't give in to that temptation to rely solely on your own resources. Instead, go to God for the resources that you need, and God will give you his power each and every day. First of all, to endure whatever may come, whatever has come, and whatever will come in the future, and to finish the race well. And at that end, you'll find yourself saying, to God alone be the glory. And now, I go to verse 14. And at verse 14, I guess I'm going to take this with me here. I can do this, right? Because God is helping me. I want to pray for you, church. And I'm going to use the prayer that the Apostle Paul has. And this is going to be my little kneeling bench here. So here's my prayer to you, church. For the reason that I've given you, that you have a calling and purpose, and that you need the power of God to accomplish that, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And then a doxology: to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Stand for our final song.
Great is your love. Let the whole earth sing, let the whole earth sing. You reach for us from on heaven's throne, when we had no hope.
You are the way,
there's no other. You are the way, there's no other. You rose from death to victory. Jesus alive in us. You shine the sun, you are glorious, you are glorious. Lord over all, you have made us new, we owe it all to you. Your name be high and lifted.
blessing, church.
May the mighty power of God rest upon you. And may the mighty power of God be within you. And may the mighty power of God work through you each and every day now. Amen.
Go in peace.
You rose from death to victory. You reign in life, O Majesty. Your name be high and lifted up. Jesus, Jesus, alive in us. You rose.